Thank you. Sorry, I didn't wear my glasses to see exactly where the boy is. Thank you. I think we have talked about young people, and so my role here is to talk about the intentional discipleship of children and teens. Our department serves 0 to 14 years, and once they reach 15, they get into the youth department. So therefore, all the materials we do is that. Why do we need to intentionally disciple our children? The church, we know, we base on Matthew chapter 19 that talk about the importance of children. So therefore, we want to take a look at what Ellen White says about. Oops, sorry. What Ellen G. White talks about in terms of why we need to do that. Right? Now, Ellen G. White tells us that too often children are allowed to grow up without religion because their parents think they are too young to have Christian duties enjoined upon them. It's very true. For many years before we had the children's ministry department, we often think children are too young. And so we don't bring our kids to Sabbath school where we thought they don't understand, because the people who sing in the beginner Sabbath school are the parents. But yet we know it's so important. That. And Ellen G. White continued to tell us that we need to start young in the family with the children. Because she mentioned in Desire of Ages, it is still true that children are the most susceptible to the teachings of the gospel. Their hearts are open to divine influences and strong to retain the lessons received. The little children may be Christians having an experience in accordance with their years. And so they need to be educated in spiritual things. And that's why we put a lot of emphasis on discipling this, because these young ones will become teenagers and youth, and they will be our future members and even leaders of our church. So we want to start young, right? We know we have read much of the research in many different places, especially in the... Sorry, I didn't put down the source because it was on my notes that I put the source. It was a Christianity Today that had this particular thing talking about what is at stake. Youth leaving church by age 23, yes, when they go to university, leaving high school, and only 9% are born according to him with a really biblical worldview. And Christians is permanently losing their children by the second year of college. Now, that's a high percentage when we think of why are we losing them, especially they have gone to Adventist schools. We have brought them to Sabbath school. They've joined Pathfinders, ambassadors, and yet we are still losing our young people. Well, just now Paul mentioned some of those very important areas that we need to talk about. It will also be repeated here a little bit. What are God's dreams? Whenever we read our D6 model is the model we use, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. And it often talks about the importance that God tells us to teach our children about loving God and with all our heart and soul. But when we sit, when we eat, when we lie down, when we move. See, God wants parents to be spiritual mentors, really. To spiritually mentor their children so that they get to know God. They love the Lord, and they obey God's commandment. This is what we hope our children will learn. And if we don't impress them when they're young, it's a little too late when they become teenagers. So therefore, we will look at... Now, as I study the way Jesus deal with the disciples, how he trained, I suggest four components of Jesus' method of discipleship. Number one, Jesus told his disciples to follow him, but he showed them how to follow. Uh-huh. He just didn't tell you... You know, every time I think of this, now being Chinese, we are famous for Chinese Kung Fu, right? Many times back in those days, people talk about Bruce Lee and Jet Li and all those. And everyone wants to learn karate and Kung Fu so that they can have self-defense. But actually, our goal in Kung Fu is not to fight. It's actually for your own development so that you develop self-control in our internal energy. So, but many times our movies portray them wrongly. And so, but Jesus showed them, and the Kung Fu master will always show the person how to do. I don't just give you instructions. So to intentionally disciple children, what must parents do? We need to come alongside with them and go with them you know, you need to teach them how to pray. That's why we start young with children, just thanking Jesus for the beans or the food, and we pray before sleep, and we talk about sharing Jesus. How do you serve? How do you go out there and help the poor? You know, we come alongside with them rather than leaving it. I never forget when my children were growing up, my two sons, I usually send them to church because once a month our church in Singapore, we hire a bus and then we bring all the kids out to knock on every door and invite people to join and enroll in the Voice of Prophecy health lessons. I used to drop my two boys with a drop-off mentality because I've had enough experience. So I want them to learn how to serve, but I never came alongside them. So I dropped them, and one day, after many times, my son, I stopped him, and he closed the door, and then he bent down at the window. He said, "Mommy, why are all the mommies and daddies going home to sleep on Sabbath?" He asked me. You know, it really hit my mind when I heard that, and I felt so bad. I went back and told my husband. I said, "Maybe we have not been a good mom. We didn't come alongside to teach our children what it means to be a joy to knock on the doors." So we decided we change our style of doing it because my son said, "All the mommies and daddies will sleep till Jesus comes," he said. You know, it really shocked me. I can learn from children. I felt really bad, and I felt like I have been a bad parent. I'm not really
biblical. Theology.
So we need to come alongside them to model. Not only model, be a good model, but show them. Bring them out to the railroad tracks if that's where we want to help the poor children. And if they never see us study the Bible and all that, that's hard to really be a model for them. Give them lots of opportunity to practice their gifts and talents, because God gave them different talent. Even a little child can get up and sing or do whatever. Because to do that, Jesus always stayed with his child and showed them how before he sent them all out. See? Now, George Barna's latest book that I just bought for my 13 world directors, and plus Manor and the 15 of them, it's called Households of Faith. It's a new study. And it shows, you know, in one section, it talks about spiritual vibrancy. What kind of homes are those that are spiritually vibrant? See, they're vibrant, they're devotional, hospitable, and dormant. So, sorry. So you have very high percentage, those vibrant families that practice, and their spiritual practice is such that they go with their, they strengthen their family. They do it together because that's what makes that household fun. And it's a really wonderful study in the latest one that it just, right now they're advertising it, but it's an excellent thing that I feel that we need to come alongside our children, our young people. And number two, I feel Jesus was with his disciples for the majority of all Moses' days, besides himself going to pray on his own, but he also spent time with them. You know, for a long time, psychologists, now since I study psychology, for many years, our books often say, well, if you're too busy, just spend quality time with your children. I'm sure you've heard of that. But actually, it's more than quality time. So many parents just, you know, we find it as an excuse. What we need is not just quality time, also quantity time. We need both quality and quantity. Sometimes at the expense of quality, we just spend quality time, maybe 15 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, to talk about religion or talk about Christ. But the rest of the time, you know, well, since the books say it's good to spend quality. But we need lots of time because our children don't need as many gadgets as we want to give them. Rather, they need us to be there to be those disciples. Let's look at the family time. Do we have worships with them? In fact, much of those other studies by Roger Dudley and some of the other Value Genesis study have shown, and even George Barna's study showing how important regular family worship is, taking time to study Sabbath school lesson with them. As young children, we read to them, but as they get older, we start studying, you know. Yeah, and it is a myth that today many people say, oh, young people are not interested in Bible study. It is not true. They are interested in deeper kind, so that we want to take time to spend time with them, you know, enjoy meal time. Do we play together? Do we eat together anymore? I never forget when I first went to Southern Missionary College those days. my husband and I arrived the first day, and at the supermarket, we found so many little dinners called TV dinners.
Mm.
And we went to ask them, what is this for? Because we've never seen it before. I suppose we're first time out in our life out to the Western world. And the lady said, oh, you can just buy them, warm it up in the microwave, and then just sit there and watch TV and eat, she said. I said, why do you want to do that? Well, you know, save time, she said. So I noticed. Now, we feel that it's important to talk about. Today we have driving time. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 6 tell us we need to sit when we walk, when we lie down. We read to our kids, we talk with them. But do we talk about faith? You know. So my director from South Pacific Division developed this some years ago, and we have sent them out to the world few. She developed this set called Table Talks. Just talk about, what do you want to talk about when you sit together and eat at night? Do we talk about TV star, football fans, or whatever are we talking about? Do we take time to talk about faith? So she developed some of these different ones based on topic of service, worship, grace, you know, and community. So as you're eating, you can just pick up one card and maybe talk about the topic. Yeah, what particular? I look up to who? Dash, because of their faith. See, maybe they want to talk. Is there a teacher that impressed you? So I started doing that with my kids when they came back from school. I used to ask them, what do you want to thank Jesus for today? Is there something? Your friends, your teacher? Or see, so we got to talk about that. You know, rather than, I remember when I went to this teen camps in Brazil, many boys that year was the World Cup. They tell me, and the whole time they were talking about Ronaldo, who was a big superstar, very good in football. Like nobody else talked about anything else. And they all want to be Ronaldo. And so here we find, you know, opportunities to talk and share during our meal time. Talk and share time. Share. What did Daddy have today? What did Mommy have? Did God protect you today? You almost got in an accident, or your friend you prayed for? God. See, there's a chance. Please get rid of gadgets. Too many times we have so many gadgets that hinder our communication. So we need to spend quality time if we want to teach them for the faith that we are interested in. Now, number three, Jesus frequently taught his disciples scriptures and showed them how to minister. Study the Bible together with them. Yeah? That's what Deuteronomy say. What? When we walk, when we eat, you know, it's a whole lifestyle. It is not just a one day. And I agree with you, Paul, that Global Youth Day shouldn't be just one day. Now, they voted for our department, Global Children's Day and Global Youth Day together, you know, exactly on the same day. Yeah, the children do those things. But I like to encourage my leaders, don't just do it on Global Children's Day. Every program that we have for children, Bible camp, Ellen White camps, whatever it is, we must have one sector of half a day put aside for service and other times of the thing. You know what impressed me when I was in Cameroon? Cameroon's a kind of not a very rich country, but I went there for a children's program, and you know, the Sabbath, the children came and invited me and said, can you go with us to the hospital? I said, okay. Most of them are Muslim believers, but we go to pray for them. And then they bring way big bunches of bananas, and so they carried them along. And over there, they went from bed to bed and prayed. And they asked those people, said, can we pray for you? Many of the Muslim believers said yes. And the children prayed, and after that, distributed one banana for them. They put together whatever little money, but it was an opportunity for them to serve. And their leaders just engaged. So I asked them, how often do you do that? Say, 2 times a month we go out there and minister. Isn't that discipleship we really need? Not just once a year or twice. Well, it's great to have that once a year to inspire and to motivate. Now, how do we teach them? We encourage them to begin a personal. In children's ministry, we call it tag time. Time alone with God. We develop prayer journals, prayer calendars, whatever it is. And we have prayer conferences, which will help You know, I've just finished a book that's ready to be published, and we want to show them how to develop those so that children learn. I learned from a Korean Union conference. It's the only one conference I've seen that throughout every year they have developed, they have organized prayer conferences for children, not just for the adults. And it's really great to see children learn. They go through prayer stations, they learn, you know, learning to have their own devotion, pray, study, talk to Jesus. I don't know, it may start with 10, 15 minutes, but it's wonderful to be able to see that happening as children learn to help them discover their passion for ministry. What do you like to do to serve Jesus? I mean, serve your friends. How do you want to go about doing that? And it's really excellent to see them, because if they can share and work in the church, why not let them go up there and, you know, lead song service. They are good at certain, and they like to go out there and help. Now, I have one little boy that I met. He's not very gifted, because he has a little minor retardation. But he always liked to do a job that maybe nobody likes to do. He said, "I think I'm good at being a parking attendant." Now, because he's a kind of Down syndrome child, so he was 14 years old when we met him at a big church parking lot. Oh, the pastor said he was there every Sabbath on time, even before the cars come in. And he would be blowing his whistle, directing every car to go there. And then he welcomed them. So when I met him, he came up to me. I said, "What's your name?" "Alex." Then he took out from his pocket a piece of paper. And he said, "That's my name." I said, "Oh." It was the list of the nomination committee. You know, nominating committee listed who should be leader and teacher. He said, "That's me. I'm the parking attendant." Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very simple role, but yet he felt his ministry, as far as his ability is concerned, you know, equip them to share their gifts to serve the church. We have to teach our young children, prepare them so that they learn how to serve. Put together whatever allowance they have. If they don't have, can they? Even the poor, according to what Ellen White said, even the poor can give to help someone. It doesn't have to be very rich people. And train them to lead their peers to Jesus. Now, that is one area that we launched a program called Kids in Discipleship, where we want to train our children, not only help parents disciple their children, but we want our kids to learn to make a disciple of some other friend so that they can share the gospel in a very simple way. So we have shown them different methods that they can just share with a friend, pray with a friend, whatever. Now, Jesus sent them out on a mission. After he prepared, we prepare them, we ground our kids, we give them those experiences, now we let them go out. Give them a chance to share Jesus with their friends. Some kids can preach in evangelistic meeting, and some can sing, some can pray, can do many things. It's amazing when children, you know, when God, you know, when you see how the Holy Spirit works in the children, it really is marvelous. Show them simple ways to witness. Can I have a piece of paper that I want to show you? Just any blank.
Does it need to be blank?
Yeah. Doesn't have to be blank. Just like, do you need this? Yeah, you better keep it.
Yes, I think that.
Okay, thank you. Now, I went to South American Division, and I noticed they were teaching all the kids simple ways to share and witness to their friends. So this little boy, they go and either talk to their classmate, or they knock on somebody's door when you see another child, or somebody under the tree, he will teach them, you know, and they will share it with their little friends. He said, "You know, there's a beautiful home way up in the sky. It is so far away up in the sky that even if I go in an airplane, I cannot get there. This beautiful place up in the sky is God's house. God has a beautiful home prepared for us. But God's house is so far way up in the sky that even if I go in a rocket, I cannot get up there. There is only one way for you to go to God's beautiful home where you can see Jesus. And that is if you accept his son Jesus,
oh,
who died for us on the cross of Calvary." And it was just beautiful to see children learning different way. And then they use the flipper flapper to tell the color, the wordless book in a different way to share Jesus so that they learn to witness. And lead them to serve and minister to others, that we talk about service, and then discuss and debrief. Jesus always send them out after their ministry. They come home, we talk about it. We debrief, we answer questions, we encourage and continue to pray for them. And so as we look at, it has to be intentional. Because if we don't intention, parents are also busy these days. Unless we put aside maybe Thursday night is family night or whatever nights where we do certain things together as a family. You know, we are beginning to be less and less family oriented because we all have our different programs. Even with teenagers, especially they have their own friends and they got choir practice or football practice and, you know, all those different schedules that we have. But it has to be intentional. The challenges that children and they face, what do they face when we are helping them to learn, to witness, to do those things? Much of what we have today is all this that we find in our electronic gadgets, pornography and the movies, television, books and magazines and music. That is really a challenge to many of our young people who encourage them to, you know, try different things. Actually, if you look at all the commercials and many of them, the young people are the ones they direct their head to, and computer games. So what we want to do is to protect them, not only protect, how can we set guidelines, limit their use, sit down with them and watch a TV or play a game together and find out what's wrong. You know, I was surprised, my grandkids, they don't watch TV much. One day when I went to visit them, they asked me, Grandma, do you know Angry Birds? I said, Angry Birds? Never heard of it. I said, why are the birds angry? They said, oh, it's a famous computer game that my friends are playing. I said, are you playing? He said, no, Daddy, Mommy won't let us, you know, we don't play on a computer. I said, well, that's very good, I said. But then they hear about it. And so he asked me, so I said, okay, let's look and see what it is. You know, why is it not good? They're all the fighting and the laser and the hitting. So always debrief with them, answer the question, and teach them to make wise choices. And that's why intentional, that's what. So which is more important, discipleship or giving a children a lot of things? Or maybe very successful. For us Chinese, oh, that's big thing, you know, because we are very status, you know, conscious, and our children must be successful. Everybody seems to be here, have to be a doctor, a nurse, or an engineer, a lawyer. But yet, above that, I think we need to talk about, we need to impress on parents, well, success is important, but it is making strong disciples who can impact the world and make a difference in their lives. Because the children themselves grow up to be our leaders, our members, who have passion. But, you know, every time I think of Dwight Nelson, I never forget them growing up in Singapore and Japan. Their parents were missionaries there. And I saw them growing up. Of course, he was much younger than us and going to the academy. But they were very missionary-minded because their parents have really grounded them and they go out together as a family and they continue. So may God bless each of us as we go back to really, you know, go to our churches and train and empower our parents and our leadership to put priority in helping parents in this modern day to really be intentional in discipling our children. If not, we will lose them in a little while. Thank you very much.